Pastor Joe McTarsney.
Thank you, Dan. It is a true joy in the Lord to be here with you this morning. And if you'd be so kind to open up your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to be looking at verse 1 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I've been looking forward to coming out here when Dan sent me the invitation, and I accepted it, and I thought it will be a blessing to be here, because I know that God wants to speak to you and speak to me too, because His Word never turns back void, and I know that the Lord wants to come alongside you and just to encourage you, because He's a good shepherd. And just real quick, just an overview about myself. I was raised in the city of El Monte, and when I was raised there, it was at the age of 12 years old that I watched my father pass away. And being raised then with a single mom and going through the teenage years, and as you all know, the teenage years can be very rocky, and it's important to have some type of stability to support you, because major decisions are made when you are a teenager and a young adult. So long story short, made a lot of poor decisions. Didn't have someone give me advice and directing my life, and it was very, very difficult. So a person came into my life named Anthony Alvarez when I was a senior in high school, and he invited me to a church in La Fuente. And so I went, and the pastor gave an invitation and to come to the altar and receive Christ Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And I went, and I got to tell you, I went to that altar and I cried like a baby. It was probably about 6 years of tears that I just bottled up inside of me. And I was a very hard teenager, a very mad teenager. And the reason why I was hard and mad is because I had a broken heart. And I needed the Lord to mold my heart and reshape my heart. And as He's a potter and I'm a clay, and the Lord just certainly did that. He touched my heart and transformed my life. And then from there, I went on to Bible college and went to school and eventually earned a bachelor's degree in biblical studies and then was able to work at a church in Calvary Chapel, Chino Valley. I was a youth pastor there for 20 years. I mentioned to the Lord, I want to go back and reach young people, because I know what it's like going through a difficult time, and I want to share with them that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is life. And so I was spreading that message to the teens for a couple decades. And then a few years ago, the Lord opened a door to pastor a church, to birth a church. We started the Bible study, and now the Lord has been so gracious to us, and He's done beyond what we can think and or imagine. And I get to be the Lord's under shepherd and pastor a congregation in the city of Montclair. And from that, God has just been doing things, just has been blowing my mind. I'm also a police chaplain. I work with the police department as well as a fire department chaplain. So I work closely with first responders. So there's some scenes that I've been called to that has just been beyond me. Like, for example, the San Bernardino shooting that we had. I was one of the first ones to arrive at the scene and to come alongside people that saw some things that the human eye has not seen before and the human heart has not experienced before, and to come alongside them after they reported what they saw and what they felt when they were in that luncheon there when that occurred, and to pray with them and to bring the comfort of Christ to them. And so the Lord has just been opening doors, and just more recently the Bill and Graham organization accepted me as a chaplain for their national program. And I'm just saying all this to, you know, it's by the grace of God, because I was confused, lost, a boy running around the streets of Almani, and I'm a changed man by the grace of God. And so just a little bit about myself. And this leads into our study. And our study is going to be speaking about how to be a godly person. How to be a godly person. Now I'm going to be sharing about 7 godly characteristics to be a godly man as well as a godly woman. 7 godly characteristics, because that was the cry of my heart. I used to pray to the Lord, Lord, I want to be a godly man. I just don't want to be a natural man. I just don't want to be a good man. God, I want to be a godly man. In Jesus' name, I want to be a godly man. But Lord, I don't know what a godly man looks like. For you see, I never had a father. And I don't know what it is in sight to be a godly man. So Lord, would you teach me? And the Lord has been teaching me lessons, and I want to share those lessons over to you this morning. And I'm going to be sharing 7 godly characteristics to be a godly person. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. You love us so much, Father, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you that we are the apple of your eye. We thank you that we are the delight of your heart. We thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for us, Lord Jesus, as we are made in your image. So, Lord, I pray as we open up your word, God, in Jesus' name, would you please open up our heart. And God, would your word just fall upon our hearts, Lord, so it could bear much fruit for your honor, for your glory, so we could be a blessing to other people. For we know that fruit is always for others. And so I just pray, God, that you do a work in us and do a work through us. And we pray this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, reading verse 1. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. The word imitate speaks about to follow or be an example. And that's what Paul is encouraging the Corinthians. He's encouraging the Corinthians, and he's saying, follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus Christ. So Paul knew that the people there at Corinth needed an example. They needed an example to see someone that loved Jesus Christ with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. And you see, that's why Jesus came upon the face of the earth. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14, he came and dwelt amongst us. And so people interacted with Jesus, and they saw Jesus, and they followed him. As they followed him, they wanted to be like him. And you see, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were really jealous of Jesus. In fact, Jesus threatened them just by his lifestyle. Because they saw someone that was true. Someone that obviously reflected God, because Jesus is God in the flesh. And you see, the same is true today. People are desiring to follow someone that's reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And I encourage you, be that person. Oh, would you be that person for the fatherless? For the children that don't know what a godly person looks like? Would you embody that person? And that's what Jesus did. And people flocked to him. Because they were hanging out with the religious leaders, and they're just saying, wait a minute, there's something different here. They're arrogant. Jesus has humility. They're full of outward prayers, and they're full of drawing attention to themselves. But Jesus draws attention to his Father. There's a difference. It's black and white. Obviously, white represents Jesus, right? And so they were so drawn to Jesus and not drawn to the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And so they were jealous. And jealousy was one of the reasons why they actually put him upon the cross. Jealousy is so evil. Never go there. Never go there. So Paul knew that people needed an example. He needed so much. He knew that so much that he told his son in the faith, Timothy, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, to be an example. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, be an example. Notice, to the believers, in word, in your conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You see, it's not only the unsaved that needs an example. Interesting enough, according to 1 Timothy chapter 4, the believers need an example as well. And will you be an example of a godly person to the believer? So I submit to you, there's at least 7. There's a lot more, but I'm just going to only present 7. There's 7 godly characteristics to become a godly person. Number one, A godly person seeks God's direction. A godly person seeks God's direction. It's important to spend time with the Lord, to receive from the Lord, so you could have His direction. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Here, verse 1. Notice verse 23. You may want to underscore this. For it says, I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Did you notice something there? Paul says he first what? Received from the Lord. And then notice what he did to do next? He delivered. I suggest something to you. You can't give what you don't have. And so it's important to receive direction from the Lord. Do not lean upon your own understanding, as someone quoted Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 today. And so we can't lean upon our own understanding, but we acknowledge Him in all that we do and all that we say. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 speaks about that. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his footsteps. So a godly person seeks the Lord. Spends time with the Lord and saying, Lord, this is a brand new day you have blessed me with. Lord, your mercies are renewed for me this day. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that I would have a sensitive ear to hear your Spirit direct my footsteps. For Lord, I want to follow your ways and not my ways. And so a godly person seeks the Lord and their steps are directed by the Lord. So may we strive each and every single day just to rest in the presence of the Lord, getting direction from Him. It has been said that we only have one life to live, and it's going to soon pass. And only what we do for Christ will last. So it's important. It is so important to spend time with the Lord and get direction from the Lord. And so as you are following the Lord, other people can follow your steps. I remember a while back where it was raining outside, and as it was raining outside, I went out there and I put on my my shoes, and then I was stepping through the mud, and lo and behold, some of you have dads, you know, oftentimes your kids following your footsteps, and what happened was my son Joshua put on his shoes. And he started to step in the same steps where I was at. And the Lord taught me a lesson that they will follow in your footsteps. And even as they follow in your footsteps, we have to be very careful. Where are we walking? Where are we walking? Because they will follow in our footsteps. And it will. People will follow in our footsteps, especially our children and our grandchildren. And so, follow the Lord. Secondly, a godly person spends time in God's Word. A godly person spends time in God's Word. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it's so important to get the Word of God in your mind, to renew your mind with the Word of God, so God can direct you, God can guide you. And so, may we spend time in the Word of God. May you have faith. And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. You want to be a man of God, a woman of God, a person of faith. The way that happens is when the Word of God gets in your mind, changes your mind, and changes your heart. And so may I encourage you, fill your thoughts with the Word of God. Does it matter what you think about? Absolutely. For it's been said, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Let me encourage you, protect your thought life. Think on whatever is true. Think on whatever is a purity of holiness. Protect your thought life. And so may your thoughts be in the Word of God. Thirdly, a third characteristic to become a godly person. A godly person is a person of prayer. A godly person is a person of prayer. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 5. Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible says, Nehemiah prayed, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Please, let your ear be attentive and yet let your eyes be open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. For the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of your children of Israel, and that they will follow you. So Nehemiah was a person, he sought the Lord, he prayed. He prayed day and night. He prayed without ceasing. He constantly was in an attitude of prayer. And I pray that you would be in an attitude of prayer. That you will see, God, you are the creator of the heavens and earth. And Lord, as you are so big, the circumstances that I'm going through is so small. And when you put the circumstances next to your Savior, it doesn't compare. And so when you see your circumstances through His eyes, they're so small. Because your God is so big. How big is your God? How big is your daddy? You know, may your God be so big, and He is so big. But it's just learning about Him. And then you see things through His eyes and not through your eyes. Jesus was an example that saw His Father on a regular basis. So much so that the disciples approached and they're saying, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? And we know that according to Luke chapter 11, verse 1. The disciples never asked Jesus, will you teach us how to preach? But He said, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? Jesus spent time in prayer. If Jesus spent time in prayer, how much more so we as followers of Christ should be spending time in prayer? And I encourage you, develop your prayer life. Develop it and spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Spend time with the Lord. It's so, so, so important. Number four, the fourth characteristic of a godly person. A godly person is not arrogant. Being arrogant is unattractive. Humility is so attractive. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 5, even who is arrogant in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. And so we don't want to be an abomination to the Lord. We want to have a gentle heart. Yes, thick skin, but yet a gentle heart. And Jesus is our example of one that had gentleness, meekness. And yes, He turned over the tables as they were supposed to be a place of prayer, a temple place of prayer. But there's times where you do get angry, but it's a holy anger. It's not being in the flesh. There's a difference between a fleshly anger and a holy, righteous anger. There's a lot of unholiness that's taking place in our country. And there's times where we need to step up to the plate and just say, no, thus says the Lord, this should not be done. Recently, I had an opportunity to fly out to Washington, D.C. to be a part of a conference. And while I was there, I met with our Senator of California, and Dianne Feinstein. And I had a meeting in their office, and I shared with them. I said, you know, I stand as one that's a pro-lifer, and I stand for the unborn. And I encourage you to also stand for the unborn. And I mentioned my conviction that I have. Is based on facts, and it's based on facts on the authority of the Scripture. As a matter of fact, right down the road here, there is a history of the Museum of the Bible, and there the history of the Museum of the Bible, it shares on how our Bible is reliable and it is founded on facts. So my convictions that I share in my conscience, it's founded on something that's not an opinion, but it's from God Almighty. And so there's times where you step up to the plate and you share courageously. You share with people that can be a little bit intimidating with you. But if God be for you, who shall be against you? And God got your back. And so stand up for integrity. Stand up for righteousness and not be a person that's arrogant. You know, we don't need to be believers that just point our fingers and get just hot and puffy and misrepresent the Lord. But let's be godly people. Number five, a godly person is a learner. A godly person is a learner. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. May I encourage you, continue to grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Grow in grace and grow in knowledge. That's what Peter says, to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And it's so important. There's a lot of people, they know the Greek word for grace. They could say, you know, charis. But they are not a gracious person. Let's be a gracious person. Let's be a kind person. And let's grow in knowledge. Let's grow in knowledge. Paul was one that said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul said, not that I have already obtained, but I'm not already perfect. But I press on and lay hold of Christ Jesus, which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of me. And this is the great apostle Paul. Paul could say, hey, I've planted churches. I have led thousands of people to Christ, and I'm done. I'm going to take a siesta now, dude. I'm going to kick back, man, drink a cappuccino, and it's all good. I'm going to heaven. No, Paul said, I'm going to continue to learn. I'm going to continue to grow. And so may we continue to be learners. And it's so important to be learners. And the way to be a good learner is to be a good listener. Is to be a good listener. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Number 6. A godly person is a peacemaker. A godly person is a peacemaker. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so, may I encourage you, as much as depends upon you, what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, live at peace with everyone. As much as depends upon you. We don't need to start fights. We don't need to start fights and need to fight the arguments. Yes, does our flesh get stirred up? Absolutely. If anybody's married more than a year, you know sometimes your flesh gets stirred up. But you don't have to speak your mind. You could bite your tongue. And then you could address issues when you are in the spirit, if you will. Level-minded, if you will. Having children, too. You know, do they step out of bounds? Absolutely. Right now, I have two teenagers. I have a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old. Cleaning up after themselves, living things out and about, happens on a regular basis. Is it easy to be in the flesh? Absolutely is. But there's a way to handle it. I don't want my children to be afraid of me. I want them to love me, but know that we have discipline and we have things that need to be done because we all together live in a household. And so on a regular basis, we talk about these type of things. Why? So we can live at peace with one another. It is so important. And number 7, the last godly characteristic, and this is so practical, is take care of your physical bodies. Take care of your physical bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For where the temple of God is, we are the temple of God. We are the Holy Spirit inside of us. So the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And so you are a temple of God. Your body is a temple of God. And so take care of yourself as God's Spirit lives inside of you. It has been once said about a minister. A minister said this. He said at the end of his life, he didn't take care of his body. He didn't take care of his health. And so he said, God gave me a horse and a message. And I killed the horse and I couldn't deliver the message. As a fire chaplain, do you know the number one call that we get called to things? When I first became, I've been powered of chaplaincy for 7 years now. I thought it was TCs, the traffic collisions. I was wrong. We have probably 3 deaths in our city every month. And you know what they're due to? Heart attacks. Heart attacks. Heart attacks. It's called full rest. And what has happened is men and women have not taken care of their body. And they have sudden heart attacks. And so I'm called to the scene to bring comfort to children and to family members. And there's a part of me where I heard in my heart, not only necessary for the sudden loss of the person and for the tears and I deal with raw pain and raw emotion. But I got to tell you, I do think this in the back of my mind. Could this have been prevented if they would have exercised just a little bit more? If they would have had a physical, that they would have the arteries checked out. And I understand, you know, clogged arteries. I grew up, you know, with eating beans and rice every single day with tortillas. And, you know, and my mom, she made the beans. She would remember lard in the red box. My mom got that lard and she just put it in the beans. And so I know about that. I want to tell you, we love you. We love you. And we want you around for a long time. Please take care of your health. Please take care of your health. If you don't get a physical, get a physical. I do. I get a physical once a year. And sometimes as men, we could be reluctant. We're like, I don't want another man to touch my body. Well, what is that about? Be around for your children, your grandchildren. I don't know how many of you have grandchildren. Those little niños and little niñas, they need you. They need Papa. But Papa won't be around if he doesn't get a physical. I'm telling you. And I say this out of love as a brother in the Lord for you, because I go on those scenes. And I see the devastation, and I'm there to navigate families through this. And a lot of them have never made funeral arrangements either, and so they don't know what to do now. It's difficult. I'm there, and I want to tell you, we love you enough to encourage you enough to say, take care of your physical body. So those are the seven godly characteristics I'm going to share with you. It's very practical. I'm a very practical pastor. And I encourage you to live these out and become a godly person. Become a godly man. Why? Because God wants you to. And why? I know you want to. And other people need it as well. And then you could say, as Paul has said, follow my example as I follow the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these believers that are here, Lord Jesus, and everyone that heard your word. I thank you, your word doesn't turn back void. And I just pray, Father, that you would encourage us, Lord, to follow you all the days of our life, Lord. But Lord, as we follow you, it's important to have discipline. It's important to put these measures in place, Lord, because godliness just doesn't happen. Godliness takes effort. And Lord, you are the ones that will able to help us live this godly life. And right now, as our eyes are closed and our head is bowed, if you need prayer today, would you raise your hand? Maybe you want a prayer to become a godly person, a godly man, a godly woman, a godly person after the heart of God. Maybe you want prayer to be more disciplined in the Word of God. Maybe you want to be more disciplined to be a person of prayer. Maybe you want to be more disciplined and just being a peacemaker and not always blowing it up. Maybe you need prayer to be slow to speak. And then maybe you need prayer not to be arrogant, but to have humility. Or maybe you need prayer even to get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not right. You have one foot in the church and one foot out. Or maybe you need prayer today and you want to raise your hand to ask Jesus to come into your heart so he will be your Savior. And because you need Jesus as your Savior, because you know you're a sinner, you have missed the mark, you have fallen short, and you want God to forgive you of all your sin. You want to make peace with God this beautiful morning. And so if you need prayer today, raise your hand so I can pray over you. And Father, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for the hands that are being raised, Lord. You know the reason why they're being raised. And I just pray, God, that you just reach down and touch them, Lord. May they have a sense, Lord, that they're being forgiven, Lord. May they have a sense that you are encouraging, Lord Jesus. And then know that you will, Lord, because you are faithful. You're faithful and you love us so much. You love us so much that you're going to not leave us to the place that we're at, Lord. So continue to mold us and shape us. Become godly people after your heart. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Put your hands down. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to move in a time of communion. So we'll have the elements passed out, and we'll have a worship song, and then we're going to have communion together. So I would encourage you to hold on to the elements, and so what I'll do is I'll read a portion of scripture, and then we'll end our morning with communion. And communion, it's so important to do. In fact, we're going to be reading about it, how and in God's word it says to do this in remembrance of me. So as it's being passed out, why don't we worship the Lord, and then we'll move into having communion together.
You were condemned.
I'm alive and well.
Spirit was within me because you died and rose again.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. Thank you, Lord. I'm alive and well. Spirit is in me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? My King would die for me.
Honor the Lord by having communion. I'll read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." You ever see that? Which is broken for you. "Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Whenever you speak about the death of Jesus, it's important to always speak about the resurrection of Jesus too. And he's going to come back. We have a king that's going to come back. And so may we take communion right now and remember that Jesus died upon the cross for you. His body was broken for you. And so when you take this waffle right now, go and take it. And just remember that Jesus' body was broken for you. Now let's drink this juice and remember that the blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven you all your sins. You are a forgiven person because of the body of Jesus Christ. So let's drink this juice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for it was the joy that was set before you that endured the cross. And we know that joy was being in your Father's will, and we know that we were part of that joy too, because you knew that we would embrace you as Savior and Lord. So we just want to thank you. And greater love is this, that a man shall lay his down life for another. And Lord, that's love. So I just pray as we leave for this breakfast this morning, that we'll leave just loving other people, Lord, and being a godly example for other people. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I want to thank you. for having me this morning. Thank you, Dan, and it's been a blessing being here. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor Joe. What a blessing. What a great message. Great encouragement there. A lot of great principles to be able to follow and examples. I, you know, that thought can...